So now there isn't any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. God has done what was impossible for the law, since it was weak because of selfishness. God condemned sin in the body by sending his own Son to deal with sin in the same body as humans who are controlled by sin. He did this so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now, the way we live is based on the Spirit, not based on selfishness. People whose lives are based on selfishness think about selfish things. But people whose lives are based on the Spirit think about things that are related to the Spirit. The attitude that comes from selfishness leads to death. But the attitude that comes from the Spirit leads to life and peace. So the attitude that comes from selfishness is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law because it can't. People who are self-centered are not able to please God. But you aren't self-centered. Instead, you are in the Spirit, if in fact God's Spirit lives in you. If anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to him. If Christ is in you, the Spirit is your life because of God's righteousness. But the body is dead because of sin. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your human bodies also through his Spirit that lives in you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, some of you know, and some of you don't, that being a preacher is just a part-time job for me right now. My full-time job is that I'm a police officer in the city of Orange Beach. I've been a police officer for over 20 years now. It's been some of the best times of my life and some of the worst times of my life. To be honest, right now, it's kind of a up and down, day to day. I refuse to turn on the news because it's just hard to watch sometimes. I've done a lot of things in my career. I've been in car chases. I've been in fights. I've talked people off bridges. I've even recovered drowning victims from the Gulf. I've made arrests for all kinds of things, from drugs to fighting to DUI, countless other crimes. And I've probably written more tickets than I can count in 20 years of being a police officer. I understand when I read something in the scripture about law, I feel comfortable because I understand the law. That's pretty much been my entire adult career, is working with the law. I work under the statutes of Alabama, Baldwin County, and the city of Orange Beach. And I understand what the law says has to be enforced. But I learned something as a very young police officer. I learned that man-made laws are flawed, that they're not perfect. I also learned that they're not necessarily black and white, that there is intent written into the law, that the law is meant to enforce an intention. We call it the spirit of the law. An easy example of this is speeding, right? So if the law was black and white, and speeding says anybody going over the posted speed limit is in violation of that law, then if you're doing 46 in a 45, you're speeding, and you deserve a ticket, right? But if I understand that the law was written with a certain intention, that the intention of that law is to keep people safe, that this posted speed limit was set because it helps to keep people safe and lower the accidents, that it wasn't meant to be so rigid, then if I'm driving down the road, say a four-lane divided highway that doesn't have a lot of cross streets, that doesn't have a lot of traffic on it, and I'm behind a person that's doing 50 in a 45, then I can look at that situation and say, well, they're meeting the intent of the law, the spirit of the law. And so it's not necessarily black and white. They're still doing what the law was set for, right? They're still being safe, driving at a safe speed, so I can let that slide. It's kind of part of the problem with the law in the Old Testament, right? Because when we say the law is not black and white, then what we're doing is we're trying to interpret the law to fit us, to kind of give us a little leeway. With man-made law, that works. But with God's law, you can't really do that. Because God is perfect. Therefore, God's law is perfect. And God's law is intended as a guide for us to live righteously in God's sight. And in order to be counted as righteous, we have to follow God's law to the letter. I mean, after all, it was written in stone, right? So it's kind of hard. You can't really adjust it. You can't use an eraser to make a few changes. I mean, it's black and white. It doesn't matter what the road conditions are. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are in life. God's law is God's law. But when we break the law, it requires a sacrifice. It requires payment. It requires a decision. It requires justification. Paul recognizes this. And in Romans, what Paul is doing is Paul is talking to the Israelites that are still trying to live their life according to the law, trying to follow that letter of the law perfectly, which they have failed to do over and over and over throughout history. That's why we needed Jesus, right? That's why God sent Jesus, to pay that price for the broken laws. And what Paul's doing is he's talking to this people, trying to tell them what is happening. Why they struggle so much? Because Paul recognizes that we are incapable of fulfilling and living life by a perfect law because we are flawed people. We are broken people. We are sinful people. We're born into sin. And Paul recognizes that sin as selfishness. Selfishness. It's a harsh word. A lot of us don't want to think that we're selfish, but in all honesty, we are. We are. You can look at some of the kids that you've been around, either your children or friends' children. How many of you have been in the grocery store and seen a two-year-old pitching a fit in the middle of the aisle because they were told no? You can't have that cereal. But I want it. I just walk away from mine. I don't know those two. They don't belong to me. How many times have you heard a kid say, mine, it's mine? Selfishness is a sin that we're born into. It's who our bodies are. It's the world that we're born into. It's in our culture. Our culture says, want more, do more, get what you want, be who you want to be, do whatever it is you want. Especially now, turn on the news. I don't want to follow the rules. I want to live my own life. That's what Paul is pointing out in this scripture, that selfishness, it makes us unable to fulfill this perfect law that God put in place. What's funny is every day at work, at my other job, I see this validated over and over and over again. All the excuses I hear when I catch somebody doing something, breaking the law. Speeding. Well, I'm running late. I need to get there. I'm in a hurry. I really got to go to the bathroom. My wife left me for a cop and I thought you were bringing her back to me. Whatever the excuse, when it's boiled down to its very root, well, I wanted to. Why were you speeding? I wanted to. Why were you running late? I wanted to sleep late. Why didn't you go to the bathroom before you went? Because I wanted to. Didn't want to. Theft. I arrest somebody for theft. Well, why did you take that? You knew it wasn't yours. I wanted it. Domestic violence. Why are you fighting with each other? Because they're not doing it the way I want them to do it. I mean, they don't say those words, but when you look at it, that's what they're saying. It boils down to that selfishness that is married to this human body, that's bred into it, that we're born into, this sinful, sinful world. And Paul recognizes that. But Paul is trying to tell these people that law has been fulfilled in Jesus. Because God saw that we couldn't fulfill his perfect law, he sent his son to pay that price for us. He sacrificed his life as a human because the humans were the ones that were breaking the law. And a human had to pay the price. But he paid the price for everyone. But the best part of that story is not that Jesus sacrificed himself. That's not the point of Paul's message here. The point of Paul's message is that Jesus was resurrected. And in that resurrection, he introduced us to the Spirit of God. That Spirit of God that enters into us, that fills us, and that makes us righteous in the sight of God. Now, I know that when I say we're selfish, that's hard to hear. You may be sitting there thinking about all of the generous things that you've done. You may be thinking about everything you've given up for others in your life. I think of myself as a generous person too. But God challenges us to be real with each other. God challenges us to be real with ourselves. He challenges us to be authentic with ourselves and to recognize where it is that we fall short. And if I'm honest, whenever I get in an argument with Jenny, my wife, whenever I get in an argument with the boys, whenever I get in an argument with somebody at work, or somebody at church. I promise I do not argue that much. But when I do, if I'm really honest, it's because they didn't do something the way I wanted. I didn't get my way. It's the sin and selfishness inside of me. It may not be big. I may not brag about it. It may not be the way I live my life all the time, but it's still there. It's still inside of us. And when we learn to recognize it, we can learn to see it for what it is. It's that sin that makes us unable to fulfill the law on our own. But in his resurrection, Jesus introduced us to the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that was in him, he introduced to us. And when we know him, and when we know that Spirit of God, what happens is we are no longer confined to defining ourselves as righteous by the laws of God, because he fulfilled those laws for us. And we begin to understand that we can define ourselves as righteous because the Spirit of God lives in us. The Spirit of God is what begins to guide us and teach us and strengthen us and lead us into this righteous life. How many people in here feel guilt, feel shame. When you do something wrong, when you break the law, and I'm not just meaning when I pull you over for speeding and you know you got caught and the fake tears come or whatever else, you know, don't tell my mama. That usually comes from the guys when we put handcuffs on them. The biggest, meanest guys in the world that we have to fight into handcuffs, as soon as those two handcuffs go click, click, I mean, they turn into the biggest babies and say, I want my mama. It's crazy. But we live in a world where we are just drowned in guilt. A lot of it we put on ourselves because we know we failed. Especially when we start talking about our Christian lives, where we know we've read the law. We understand the life God is calling us to, but we continue to fail because of that selfishness inside of us. We just choose not to do the right thing. We choose to do the thing we want to do, and then we riddle ourselves with guilt. But what Paul is telling us here is that we don't have to live our lives directed by or defined by that selfishness. We get to live our lives defined by the Spirit of God who lives in us, and we're not condemned in that Spirit. We're made righteous in that Spirit. Therefore, that's what he means when he says we are free from the law. We're freed from the law to live a righteous life in God's eyes. To be the people God made us to be. To walk out into a world of selfishness and not be defined by it, but to be defined by the Spirit of God. So that when we do fall, when we do fail, when we do break the law, we are given that grace and that mercy to pick ourselves back up. To not condemn ourselves, but to see ourselves as children of God. But that kind of leads to one of the toughest questions, I think, in our Christian lives, in our Christian walks. We know the story of Jesus. We know what Jesus did for us. We know the Holy Spirit, but how do we know the Holy Spirit's in us? And how do we know his voice? Even as a pastor, I struggle with that question sometimes. Because I hear so many other voices. But if you want to know the answer to that one, you need to be here next week. Because that's next week's sermon. Now, today what I want you to hear is that we are no longer condemned by the law. We are made free from the law through the Spirit of God in each and every one of us. Our bodies don't have to die because we're selfish and born into sin. Paul says, if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your human bodies also through the Spirit that lives in you. The Spirit of God lives in us. The Spirit of God frees us from the law so that we might live righteously in God's eyes. So what does that mean? What am I really saying here? What I'm saying is basically, we are incapable of living by God's perfect law. We just can't do it. But we have access to the Spirit. We have access to the Spirit that fulfills that law in us. Instead of having to pay the fine for breaking that law, instead of guilting ourselves and bringing on this condemnation that we love to live in, We can live free from that because the Spirit fulfilled the law in each of us. That's what Jesus' resurrection means. We have overcome the penalty of death, and we have been invited into life. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. We're thankful for you. We're thankful for your love. We're thankful for your mercy. We're thankful for your grace. And Lord, we are thankful that you overcame death for us. That through your Spirit, you enabled us to be able to fulfill your perfect law. To be able no longer to be seen as condemned and broken and weak, but to be seen as righteous in your eyes. Lord, we're grateful that we don't have to listen to that voice of condemnation that the world presses onto us, that we even tell ourselves because we don't do things perfectly. Lord, you know we don't. Yet you have filled us with your Spirit that fulfills that law in us and through us. Lord, help us to live boldly in that Spirit of confidence that says we are made righteous in your name. And Lord, help us to share that Spirit with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.